So, when I say to you the word kindness, and I put these two pictures up on the screen, which picture for you captures the closest the concept of kindness? Is it sort of the soft and cuddly little puppy up there bringing a delight to that child's face? Or is it the sort of the loyal, trained, powerful protection dog that walks beside that little girl? For you, and I suspect for most of us, when I first think of the concept of kindness, I suspect it more has to do with the little puppy, something warm and soft and cuddly. Kindness for me has always been a word that's sort of a soft word, a bit of a pansy word. Kindness. But what I want to suggest to you today, because I'm right, is that the second picture, that loyal, powerful protection dog, is much more akin to the concept, the biblical concept of kindness, than the fluffy little puffy giving some joy. Let me see if I can lay this out for you and show you exactly what I mean. I need to begin by looking at the Old Testament. Because you see, it's in the Old Testament we find the roots and the depths and the substance of what Paul means when he says that the result of the Spirit in your life and in my life and in our life corporately together is kindness. Because you see, kindness really finds its roots in God's hesed or chesed. Now, we don't know that word hesed very well because it's a Hebrew word. It's not a word of the English language. But you see, you need to understand that the concept of hesed is one of the most profound, deep, rich, and magnificent truths about God in all of the Scriptures. Our problem is that we don't have an English word. Hesed, the concept of hesed is so deep, it's so rich, it's so profound that we don't have an English word that comes even close to capturing what the Bible, biblical writers meant when they talked about God's hesed. But understand this. When in your reading in the Old Testament and you come across the word kindness, almost for sure, it's the translation of this word, hesed, and the meaning of this word. When you read in the psalmist, Lord, show kindness to me, what he's crying out is, Lord, show hesed to me. When Abraham's servant is looking for a wife, for a son, and he says, Lord, now show kindness to me and bring this woman to me. What he's crying out, he's saying, Lord, show hesed to me. In fact, I think one scholar said that only one time, and I suppose it depends on your translation, but only one time in the Bible is kindness used to translate anything other than hesed. So if we're really going to understand what kindness is, we've got to at least begin to wrap our hearts and minds around this concept of God's hesed. We could spend a year looking at it, but we're just going to spend a couple of minutes. We use words in our translations for hesed, words like God's loving kindness. When you read loving kindness, that's hesed. Or sometimes we translate it loving faithfulness. The truth is that hesed is the deepest term in the Old Testament for love. It's the deepest, strongest, most meaningful word for love. And so when we read kindness, that's what God's driving at. It's the love that indicates a very close and caring relationship. It is, in fact, covenantal love. Covenantal love. And we spend a lot of time around here talking about covenant, and so if you're not sure what I mean by that, just hang around for a couple months and you'll get it sooner or later. But it's this bonding, this unbreakable bonding between two parties. That is hesed. That is kindness. The whole idea is of hesed is faithfully meeting the needs of another person, which otherwise would not be met. Most of the time, there's an emphasis on protective power and forgiveness. And so Israel would cry out to God when they've been overrun by their enemies because they've been sinful. They would come to Yahweh and they would say, Yahweh, our God, forgive us our sin. Forgive us our rebellion, and now show hesed to us. Now show kindness to us. Come in and slaughter and kill and destroy this nation that is oppressing us. And God would come in and wipe out those people, and they would say, you have shown kindness, God. That's not very soft and cuddly and fluffy, is it? But this is the concept, this protective power and forgiveness that God shows that's described as kindness. Now, when we read in the fruit of the Spirit, God's kindness, we can't take all of that meaning of hesed, because hesed is a covenantal word, and I don't see the sign of covenant in showing kindness. We don't show kindness only to those people who are in covenant with us, those who are all the followers of Christ. We have to show kindness to others. But listen to this. Understand this. When you read in the Scripture kindness, understand it has behind it this meaning of the deepest, richest, most faithful, most powerful, strongest, most influential love that God has. Hesed is loving kindness, loving faithfulness, faithfully forgiving and offering powerful protection. Kindness is meeting the needs of other people. This is the concept that's caught up when it says that we are to be kind. In short, kindness is love applied. It's love applied, love in action. Sheena said, I have to do a little children's bulletin. What's the shortest definition of kindness that there possibly is? And I said, I suppose if I'm going to explain the shortest definition of kindness, I would say that kindness is doing love. Doing love. You see, kindness is an action fruit. It's not just something that we have, it's something that we actually do, something that we practice. It's interesting. The word that Paul uses here for kindness, krestos, is originally meant usefulness. If we're going to go away from the theology of the Old Testament now and just think about the words that Paul chose to describe it, the word originally meant something useful. It then came to mean meeting a need. You can see how that progression goes, right? Something that is useful. Well, why is it useful? Because it meets some kind of a need. Well, what is meeting a need? Meeting a need is kindness. So it's this concept of kindness being this. Kindness is the discipline of faithfully meeting the needs of another as an expression of love. That's kindness. And it's not a soft and fluffy word. It's not a condescending word. It is a word of incredible richness and depth and significance. And it's so important that we practice kindness. Well, what's the importance of kindness? Why is it important? Well, first of all, we have to be kind and have the fruit of kindness in our life and practice kindness. We have to do love because we bear the image of God. Luke chapter 6 says this, but love your enemies, do good to them and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be like the children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. You see, this whole thing about being a child of God, there's this great blessing that it talks about the relationship we have with God. He's our child. That's true and that's awesome, and we can wallow in the joy of knowing that a child of God, but it has this other side to it. And the other side to it is this. When God says you are to be my child, what He's saying is you should look like me. You should look like me. That's what it means to be a child of God. Not only that we're bound in this marvelous loving relationship, but that God expects His children to look like Him. And if God looks kind, if God forgives His enemies, if God is kind to the ungrateful to them and to the wicked, then if we're going to be look like God, if we're going to reflect what God is like to a lost and broken world, we need to be kind. Ephesians chapter 4 says the same thing. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. You see, kindness, forgive one another. Somebody does you wrong, it's the kind thing, it's the faithful thing, it's the hesed thing to forgive. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved Him and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Become kind, He says, as dearly beloved children. Look like me. But notice the kindness that's described there. It's the kindness of Christ dying on a cross, sacrificing Himself, That is not soft and cuddly. That is hard and bloody and death. And when God says, be kind, look like me, he's saying, I'm calling you to be bloody, to be self-sacrificial, to pay the price, to meet a need, even to those who are ungrateful and wicked to you. It's not the soft word that I sort of first conjured up in my mind. So we need to be kind so that people will say, this is what God looks like. This is what God is like. He is kind. He's like these Christians, these followers of him. He's self-sacrificing. He's forgiving. He provides needs when it's possible. He retaliates to wickedness with love and with gentleness and with kindness and with serving. Not only that, because you see, it's important that God see that, because when people see that in us, then it's kindness that leads people to Christ. Romans chapter 2. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that it's God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? It's kindness that causes people to look to Jesus when they experience kindness in their life. Now, here's the wrestling match. Kindness is the balance to the prophetic stance that the church has to take. You see, the truth is there's much in our society, there's much evil that as Christians we have to stand up against, and courageously and without wavering and without stepping and taking a step back, we have to say to many things, no, that is wrong. That is wrong. That must not be. That destroys God. That destroys people. That is wrong. We have to often take this prophetic stance, and sometimes we sort of cringe from that and we're afraid of it, but we're called to be prophets and spokespeople like God, and we sometimes have to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. But understand this, that will only be effective and bring about a repentance when it's overbalanced by kindness. And so we say, we stand, it is wrong, abortion is wrong, but that has to be overbalanced by Christians providing the needs of single parents and being heavily involved in adopting and foster care and all of these things. If we're going to say no to things that are evil and wrong, it must be backed up by the kindness, the self-sacrificing love of Jesus, and then our actions that back up why it is we can say no to something that is evil. It's kindness which makes the speech against evil make any sense to people. And if you only have the prophetic stance, it doesn't lead to repentance. It leads to dismissal and rebellion. If you only have the kindness stance, then people don't realize that they're violating the goodness of God. People are led to Christ through kindness. C.N. Bovey said this, kindness is a language which the mute can speak and the deaf can understand. I like that. Kindness is that which gets behind all of the arguments and all of the words and just speaks of God's goodness and love for himself. You know, there's a fellow by the name of Steve Shogan. He is famous for, in his church in Cincinnati, they practiced it servant evangelism. For a while, that was all of the rage there, you know. But it's a very interesting story. He told us a story when I was at school down in Kentucky there about how it is that he planted this church. And a lot of it came to, he labored for a couple of years and got absolutely no one. He's complaining and mad at God one time. And God said, well, that's because, Steve, you're going for the powerful and the mighty when I'm calling you to the broken and the downtrodden and the weak. And so he began to just be kind. He began to serve people and to do all sorts of weird, strange, and sometimes radical acts of kindness for people. And lo and behold, the church began to grow. And so he's actually written a couple of books. You can read them. One's called, he's written quite a few books, but a couple of them called Conspiracy of Kindness, a refreshing new approach to sharing the love of Jesus with others. He wrote another little pamphlet called 101 Ways to Reach Your Community. And there are just these radical acts of kindness, which he said, when we are kind to people, then all of a sudden it gives us the right to speak. They actually got famous a while ago, because one of the things that they did is they go out and they walk down the street, and if somebody's meter, like, you know, parking meter runs out, they plug a quarter in there and give a little note saying, you know, not from the name of the church, but just Christ, you know, did this thing. But what happened there, the reason they got famous for that was that because in Cincinnati, it's illegal to pay for somebody else's parking. And so a grandmother was out there doing this ministry of plugging meats. Then she got arrested and thrown in jail for 3 days. It's true, she's a little old grandmother. And so they kind of got on the national news there and that whole kind of a deal. He said, but it was a way that then all of a sudden they got to explain kindness. And they began to explain some of these things. So kindness leads people to repentance. All right, so let's put this on the ground a little bit for us. We've got the idea that kindness is not some pansy exercise, that it's something rather radical and profound and deep and costly and all these things, and we understand the importance of it. If people are going to know what God is like through us, they have to see kindness, and that if people are going to be brought to repentance, it's kindness that causes people to stop and say, you know what, maybe this is wrong. So how do we go about growing in kindness? Well, Bill Hybels helped me out with this. He has a pyramid. I think you got a copy of it. Nala did a good job there of putting a copy in your bulletins. The Bible says, you know, if we think about kindness in our life and how this fruit of the Spirit is in our life, we can sort of test a little bit and see exactly where we are on this scale. He says, some of us and some people, are they're not even on the pyramid. They are unkind. And sometimes I think many of us fall into this whole category of quite simply being unkind, irritated, short with people. Unhelpful, you know, just sort of stepping over the bodies and thinking, well, somebody else will help them, or they probably got there themselves, so too bad for them. And so this isn't even on the pyramid, right? Being unkind, irritated words, being nasty with people, retaliatory, all those sort of things. And he says, well, then there's level one kindness, which is we renounce unkindness. We begin to come to the point where we say, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm no longer going to speak nastily to people who do me wrong. I'm no longer going to make rude gestures to people that cut me off or whatever those things are. I am just making the decision that I am not going to be unkind. I'm going to renounce unkindness. When I was reading about this, I thought about Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, which says this: let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, that means scattered with good things, pleasant things that bring out flavor, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So to me, this is sort of the level one thing. It's living a Colossians 4:6 life, where my conversation, not just my words, but when he means by conversation, it means the way in which I conduct myself, I want it to at least be full of grace. So that's sort of level one of kindness. And the Bible says, well, you go to level two, and that is where we are proactively kind. That is, we begin to come to the place where not only am I not going to be nasty to people, but I'm going to, when I see an opportunity to be kind, I'm going to be proactive with this. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to show kindness. I am going to meet a need. I'm going to provide protection. If I see a need, I'm going to meet it. If I can say a helpful word, I'm going to say it. If it requires sacrifice and time and effort to help a neighbor, then I'm going to sacrifice and give time and all of these things. I'm going to be proactive in kindness. I'm going to join the conspiracy of kindness, which leads people to repentance. And to be honest with you, it's right here that I struggle. I'm kind of stuck here. I mean, I don't really want to be unkind anymore, but I get kind of stuck down here in being proactive. I was reminded about this a couple of years ago. A few years ago, I was doing quite a bit of traveling for our Bible college, Alberta Bible College. I was doing fundraising for them. I was going all over the place, flying to churches and explaining, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, after a while, when you fly quite a bit, you get kind of fed up with the whole thing, and you begin to be strategic in making sure that your flight is nice and comfortable. And so the way in which I did that, I'd get there reasonably early, and I'd beg them to give me in the row where the emergency door is, because you get an extra 4 inches there, you know, and my knee wouldn't hurt so much then. But one day I'm sitting on the plane, and I sit down, and it's going to be a full flight, and I'm kind of relaxed back in there because I got there early, and we're all seated, and this bigger guy gets in, pretty tall guy, big guy all around, just just kind of a larger guy, you know, tall and so on. And he gets to climb into a seat a couple of rows ahead of me. And this man is struggling. Like, he, you know, you've seen these guys get in. They've got their knees wrapped around their ears. And he's just not comfortable. And I'm thinking to myself, Serge, you're right, you sucker. If you get here early, you'd get a good seat like me. If you just apply some discipline to your life, then you wouldn't have that struggle. You still, and this is what I know, once again, this petition to the elders, fire this guy, we want a Christian for the, but this is what's going on, right? You know, I'm looking at this. What happens? But a young lady sitting across the aisle in the row, this emergency row, gets up, walks over to this guy and says, excuse me, sir, you know, my legs are way shorter than yours. Why don't you take my seat over here and I'll sit there? And the Spirit of God said to me, so, Jones, who's the Christian on this plane? I was so guilt-stricken, I never thought to offer anybody else a seat there. Right? But this is where, you know, to be honest with you, this is where I struggle, is that sometimes I think to be proactively kind and merciful and to meet a need and all those things. But to be honest with you, you know, probably most of the time, the need I'm thinking about is my own. But this is kind of level two kindness, where we say, you know what? We are going to meet a need. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to shed some blood to meet the need of the weak or the broken or whoever it is, because that's the kind thing to do. That's the loving thing to do. It's the expression of what God does. And then finally, if you get worked through that, then you sort of get to level three, which is Christ-like kindness. And this is the kindness of Jesus. This is the kindness of Luke chapter 6, which we read, where Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting anything back. Because your Father in heaven is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That's level 3 kindness. That's the kindness when somebody does me wrong, my response is love. Because the Spirit has captured my heart and transformed my being. And I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit. So Hybels has helped me just sort of put some thought patterns into there. I can look at this whole deal and think, well, where am I on this kindness pyramid? How is this spiritual fruit of kindness evident in my life? Because as you sit here and you ask yourself where you're at, what God hopes is that this is a process of growth. And if we're here, we go to here. And if we're here, we go to here. And if we're here, we go to here. Well, why is that? Why do we want to be? What's the motivation behind it? I think Colossians chapter 3 tells us why. Paul writes this to the Colossians. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Clothe yourselves with kindness. And he says, here's why. There's a threefold motivation for why it is that we want to grow in our kindness. The first motivation, he says, is that you've been chosen by God. That in his amazing grace, God looked upon you and he chose you and he said, you, I'm going to make my child. Why am I doing that? Because I'm going to make you holy. That means set apart. I'm going to make you something different. I'm going to use you and flow through you in a way that's different than other people. And so I've chosen you to be kind and to give you the ability and the motivation to know the difference that makes. I have loved you. And I just ask now that your life becomes a conduit of my love for other people. And so we're motivated to grow in our kind. Why? Because God in his mercy has chosen me. And he's chosen me and he's chosen you and he's chosen us to set us apart for his work and for his kingdom. So that when we consider the love of God, we just moved to share that love with other people. So where do we go from here? Well, Ralph Waldo Emerson said this. You cannot do a kindness too soon because you never know how soon it'll be too late. It's this consciousness of living with, I can be kind today. And so the question for us now is, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? This fruit of kindness, this radical, amazing, deep kindness, which is God's hesed lived out through us. What is it that I'm going to do? And so in a minute, we're going to just take some time to think about some circumstances where we've perhaps been, you know, kind of down here or down here, but God is giving us the opportunity by the power of His Spirit to rise up to here. If you can't think of a way, let me just suggest one for you. Just as an example. You know, for several months now, one of our seniors, Kathleen Pratt, she moved and she needs a ride to church. And sometimes she gets a ride and sometimes she doesn't get a ride. To be honest with you, you know, maybe not very often, maybe once every 2 or 3 months. And so Kathleen lives right here. Right there, up on the north end. You see there's the bypass, 116th Avenue, right? You see just up in there the Crystal Links. You know, I think a thing of kindness would be if 4 or 5 people who live up around there would say, you know what, we can take a Sunday a month and give Kathleen a ride. You know, and if it's just, you know, one, you say 5 families or whatever do it, so you got a spur, and I'll take the first Sunday, and you take the second, you take the third, you take the fourth, and we'll just give Kathleen a ride. Now, I know that that means it's a commitment. I know what it means is that you can't roll over on Sunday morning and say, I don't feel very churchy today. I think I'll sleep in. There's lots I can say about that. But I know that it'll curtail that in you for one Sunday a month. But surely it would be an act of kindness, an act of covenantal faithfulness for the body of Christ to say to Kathleen, you know what, we can get you to church. We can get you to church. We live up in this neighborhood. We pass by. It's 2 minutes out of my way, whatever. We can get you to church. You see, there's just 1,000 ways for us to be proactively kind. And because of the nature of the world, we often have ample opportunities to be kind to those who are wicked and ungrateful to us. So let's just take a couple of minutes now and meditate before the Lord on circumstances that He's laying out before you just in the next week or so where you can be kind. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you thankful that you are kind to us, that you are faithful, that you are everlastingly faithful, that your loving kindness is poured out upon me, that your kindness was your motivation between the death of Christ. And Lord, speak to us now in ways that we can be kind and practice the kindness which leads to repentance in the relationship of our life. Thank you, Lord, that though many of us are tempted to live below this pyramid of kindness, that you remain faithful to us and you work in our hearts. Lord Jesus, for the sake of your glory, make us kind people. In Christ's name, amen.